Can you hear me now? All right. Colossians chapter number one this morning. Colossians chapter number one. I actually did a study similar to this several years ago, but a few months ago, I began to add to it. I'll tell you where I got the motivation to begin this study. There is a customer, an account that I serve in Evansburg, saved lady, and she had some problems with her teenage daughter. Surprise, surprise. All right, well, this was even a little more accelerated. The daughter, I had a chance to meet her on an occasion, and believe me, she is a problem. And what the mother was, part of what she was saying was, I'm trying to understand who she is and who I am. And she's a saved lady. You walk into the store, and there's a local Christian radio station on, and how often do you find that in a store? Okay. You just don't find that. She has a local radio station, Christian radio station on. She's trying to find out who her daughter was. She's trying to find out who she was. And where did she run to find out? Dr. Phil!
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you right now, I've never been a fan of Oprah, Dr. Phil. Never have been. And this accelerated my belief even a little bit more, and I'll describe what happened to her in just a moment. Where should you go to find out who you are as a believer? The Word of God. The Word of God amply defines who we are. Several years ago, I began this study, and I've modified it somewhat since, because there are some amazing truths that you can find in the Scripture in finding out who you are. Who am I? There are books upon books upon books upon books. Psychologists, psychiatrists, all there to help you find out who you are. Just like Oprah, just like Dr. Phil. They thrive. People watch these programs because they want to find out who they are and they want to feel good about themselves. The Scripture amply defines who we are. The study we're going to begin this morning is actually a study that I will perform at the first service here in February, because we're just getting started this morning. There's a whole lot of things to look at. And this morning, as we look at this study, I am going to use your help as we look at these verses. Because when we're done looking at the verse, I want you to tell me what that verse tells you who you are. And understand, all this has to deal with you believe Dr. Phil didn't talk about that at all? Surprise, surprise. Colossians 1, verse number 27. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, where?
In you.
The hope of glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity that we have this morning to come together to study your word. As we take time to study your word, may the saints be edified. May the name of Jesus Christ be honored and glorified. For it is through his name we pray. Amen. This poor lady, again, saved lady, nice as could be. Just give you a little background about her. She has since left this store. She had a better job opportunity. And believe me, I know as a store manager, she was probably making about that much above the minimum wage. Okay? Very little. Met her husband once. Heck of a nice guy. The fact is, he has the build of Dale Hoover here. Probably about 50, 51 years old. About 6 months ago, stricken with a massive heart attack. Never believed this guy would have a problem. Never. Built like Dale. Athletic. Just heck of a nice guy. The wife, she's probably about 5'1", standing up, lying down. You get the idea. You would suspect she would be the one with a heart ailment. Well, guess what? She's fine. It's her husband that had the problem. And that problem that the husband has, I have no doubt, amplified the problem that's occurring with the daughter. The daughter is a rebel. Remember what you were like when you were a teenager a little bit? Well, this gal just may have hit the accelerator a little harder. She's a problem. And this lady was looking for answers. Loved Dr. Phil. Watched the program all the time. Figures, I'm going to get a hold of Dr. Phil. And I'm going to Dr. Phil because he's going to give me the answers, right? So she contacted Dr. Phil, and she got an invitation to bring her and her daughter on this show. They went to wherever, was it, where do they have this, in New York, Los Angeles? Doesn't matter, wherever they have it. Doesn't matter. They've flown up there, given a nice hotel to stay in. Came the day that they were going on the television. The daughter went this away. Mommy went that away. They took mother over here, talked to her a little wee bit. But guess what they did with the daughter? Boy, you're having a tough time with mom, aren't you? Well, let me give you advice on what you need to do. And began to tell the daughter what to say and what to do. And even advised her, you may want to turn the faucets on when we're talking to you on TV, because everybody's just going to. Guess who they made look like the evil empire? Guess who's now a bigger problem? Oh, yeah, let's go to the world for answers. Dr. Phil, don't I just love him? Same thing with Oprah. Just get, oh, we got to feel good. It'd be wonderful. Oh, give away a car and won't it be great? And what does that do for you in Christ?
Nothing.
Nothing. Saved lady. You want to know where the answers lie when there are problems in life? It's in the book. How to resolve those issues, you know where you go to find them? In the book. Psychiatrists, psychologists, libraries, I don't care where you go, they're going to give you an answer based on the system of what? And who's the God of this world? If you want to find out who you are, if you really want to find out who you are, where you go is the scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll go back to Colossians here in a minute. In Ephesians chapter 1, fantastic verse. You can quote it in your sleep, I'm sure. You want to find out who you are? Ephesians 1, verse number 3 is a fantastic verse. Because it starts to describe in Christ something very important. It begins to describe the blessings that you have in him. Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? Where? In Christ. In heavenly places, in Christ. You want to find out who you are? You have everything. You and I possess everything. Where? In Christ. Where are these blessings located? Here on the earth or where? In heavens. So, number one, when you want to look at where your blessings reside, I can't spell either, Dell. You want to find out where your blessings are located. You want to find out who you are. You need to look in the right and appropriate place. It says here in Ephesians 1:3 that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's not found on this earth. If you're looking for your blessings on this earth, you're going to have a long wait, because this earth will let you down so fast. It will take you and knock you down, cut your legs out straight from underneath you, and you'll sit there and scratch your head and think, what did I do wrong? Lord, you didn't do anything wrong. The only thing wrong with you is your flesh is weak. And it will fail you every time. Just ask that poor guy that's built like Dale Hoover, that's 50 years old and had a massive heart attack and almost died. Guess who else that's going to happen to? Something similar to that's going to happen to one day. You know why? Because your flesh, this world will fail you. Guaranteed will happen. Where your blessings reside, where you are located, is in who? And everything you have is in him. And where's he at right now? So where's your blessings?
With him.
In him. with him. So if you want to find out who you are, we need to look into the appropriate place. And it says here in Ephesians 1:3 that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So when I started this study, I began to think, I wonder how many blessings we really have. Now, I recognize they're in the heavenly places. How many do we have? Well, I look at that word blessings. First thing that tells me is there's more than one. You know why? Because if we only had one, it would be this. Blessing. That S is very important because that S begins to describe to me that we have more than one blessing. So we know that we at least have two. Now, we may have a million, and I used to say that too. I don't know how many blessings we have. We may have a million, but you know what? However many there are, we got them all, buddy. And well, that technically is true. But you know what? I think the Bible does tell us how many we have. Now, as we begin this study, I'm going to say something that I've heard Dale say a number of times. This is not an exhaustive study. I just sat down and I began to list this one, that one there. And I began to list them all that I could see. You know how many I found? Spiritual blessings. Found where? In what place? In heavenly places. They're all found in your Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we're all said and done, when February's over, you may come up to me and say, hey, Bob, do you ever see this one? And I'm going to go, oops. 58. And if you find one, tell me, so I want to see it too. But that's what we're going to look at. Let's see who we are. And right now, they're all located because of this guy right here. And we have absolutely, positively, every single solitary blessing you could ever possibly want or desire. We have them all. They're ours. All because of him. Don't go to the world to look for answers. The world will let you down. Fast, hard. You want to be propped up? When the world gets you down, when your daughter, son, husband, next door neighbor, cat, goldfish, job, whatever does something that causes frustration and trouble in your life, you know where we need to focus? Pull us right out of the hole. Just like that. Because in a light of eternity, does it really matter how your employer treats you? Does it really matter how your neighbor treats you? Nope. Does it really matter if your goldfish is healthy? And you know what? Having all these things is amazing, truly amazing, because we need to go to Romans 5. Let's go there. We need to recognize, and none of this, of course, understand is anything new to you, but when you think about it, when you dwell on these things, everything that we have in Christ is amazing because of where we came from. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now that's amazing there. Christ died. But who did I used to be? I used to be this word here. I used to be ungodly. That's who I was. Yet that's the person Christ died for. I used to be ungodly. Romans 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet... what's that next word? Sinners. Besides being ungodly, I was a sinner. Romans 5 is a fantastic book. Romans 5, verse number 10. For if we were what?
Enemies.
I was an enemy. Can't spell. I was an enemy. I was ungodly. I was a sinner. I was, as a result of all that, an enemy of God. Yet that's who Christ died for. By the way, we just celebrated Thanksgiving within the last, 6 weeks? Do you think that's a reason to be thankful? Shake your head, yes, please. Okay, just wanted to make sure you're awake. That's who Christ died for. For this ungodly sinner that was an enemy of God, that's who Christ died for. And when you trusted in that finished work of Christ at Calvary, you got all that. You got all spiritual blessings. Absolutely every one of them. All 57 or however many there are of them. You have them all. That's who you are. That's what you've become. What do you say we start looking at some of these 57? Go to Galatians chapter 2. Who am I? What am I? As a believer, the moment you trusted in the finished work of Christ at Calvary, the moment you recognized that His shed blood was the perfect sacrifice for sin, the moment you realized it was His work that mattered, that your work was insignificant, your work is nothing, the moment you trusted in that finished work of Christ at Calvary, this is what we become. Galatians 2, verse number 20. You guys ever hear this verse before? I, insert your name there, am crucified with Christ. Now let's stop right there. Here comes the question. What are you? Who are you? We just read that first part of the verse. What are you? You're crucified. You are crucified with Christ. When you were crucified, what happened to you? You died. Insert my name there just for the sake of saying, I, Bob, Robert, I know, and I hear the word Robert, I'm usually in trouble, am crucified with Christ. I am dead. First thing we need to recognize before we go anywhere else is that you're dead. The moment you trusted that finished work of Christ at Calvary, one of the blessings that you have is that you are dead. And the moment you recognize that, you need to recognize something. Can you dress up a dead man? You can try to dress him up, but does it do any good? Exactly. You go home from church today. You have a pet dog, we'll say. You walk in a house and there's old Fluffy there. And Fluffy's lying right in the middle of the living room floor and he's gone. He's dead. You walk into Fluffy, Fluffy's dead. You look at Fluffy and you go, oh, Fluffy, you poor thing. You don't look so good, Fluff. You know what we're going to do to you? I'm going to go out and buy you a new bowl. I'm going to buy you some food. I'm going to brush you. I'm going to get you a brand new collar and put Fluffy on that collar. We're going to put all that on you, and I'm going to buy you a new pillow, and I'm going to lie you on that pillow, and that's going to fix everything, Fluff. Question. Is that doing Fluffy any good?
No.
Why? Because Fluffy's what?
Dead.
Fluffy's dead. I don't care what you do to Fluff. He's gone. I'm sorry. In the eyes of the Lord, the moment, the instant, the second that you trusted the finished work of Christ at Calvary, insert your name there, you're crucified with Christ. You are dead. Yet, 99% of the church of the body of Christ out there right now, you know what they're preaching? Oh, you need to go out and you need to follow that law. If you don't follow that law, God's going to get you. Oh, you better tithe. If you don't tithe, oh, God's going to get you. You think God's looking at Robert? You know why God's not looking at Robert? Because Robert is what? First of all, we just read in Romans chapter 5 that, insert Robert here, Bob. Bob was what? Bob was a, and I proved that many times over in my youth. As a sinner, what was I? The moment I trusted the finished work of Christ at Calvary, Robert was crucified. Robert is dead. Why do you think God would want to dress up Bob? There's no sense God dressing up Bob because Bob's what? I don't care what you do to that dog. That dog's dead, and in 3-4 days, you're going to start noticing it in the house. Remember this time, my wife and daughter, we took Danielle. This was years ago. We went down to Hershey Park. We had this fish that was about yay big in the fish tank. When we left that morning, everything was hunky-dory. We got back about 11 o'clock at night when we walked in that house after we dropped Danielle off. You know what it smelled like in that house? Yo! I had to take that fish out and take it out in the middle of the woods and throw it out because it just stunk that house so bad. Ooh. Bob is dead. Dell is dead. Mark is dead. Insert your name, you're dead. Why in the world would God want to dress up a dead man? Makes no sense to me. As you can see, this study's going to take a while. And as soon as something dies, go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse number. Whoops, would help if I was in the right chapter, wouldn't it? Look at verse number 12 of Colossians 2. Buried with him in baptism. Whoa, let's stop there. Buried, you bet, baptism is identified, right? You're identified with. You're identified with Christ's burial. When something is dead, what's the next thing you do after something dies? You bury it. When Fluffy died, it doesn't make sense to take care of Fluff and give him nice grooming and give him a new bowl with fancy dog food and water and a nice pillow. What you do with Fluffy is you bury Fluffy because there's no reason to keep Fluffy around anymore. Fluffy's gone. Fluffy's dead. Fluffy may have been the nicest dog on the face of the earth, but he's gone now. What you do with him is you bury him. And when you bury something, it's gone. It's no longer there. What did I do with my marker? Right behind me. So it says, first of all, that you're dead. Then after something dies, you bury it. You get rid of it. Because it's dead. One of the blessings that we have, besides we're being dead, and remember, we were ungodly, we were a sinner, we were an enemy, so being dead is a blessing. You ever hear that expression being used? Want to know where that came from? Get rid of that vile, contemptible flesh. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Once it dies, what do you do with that dead thing? You bury it. Let's get rid of it. It's no good anymore. That's why we get a new body later on. That's another one we'll talk about later. That's another blessing. Okay? Once something is dead, you bury it. Let's read the rest of that verse. Buried with him in baptism, you're identified with his burial, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Point number 3. What is it? You're risen. That's something Fluffy doesn't have to look forward to. You're risen, which means you're alive. You are dead. You are buried. You are risen. You are alive. Can we see that? Can we taste that? Can we touch it? Can we feel it? This blessing is a spiritual blessing. In heavenly places. You can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't taste it, you can't feel it. But you have it. It's yours. You're alive. You're alive. You are risen. And that is the point that's mentioned, by the way, in the 13th verse. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. And we're going to stop there because we'll get to that next point later on in that verse. You're alive. You're crucified, you're buried, and you're risen. You're alive in Christ. How about this one? Point number 5. If you would with me, go to Ephesians chapter number 2. See this girl that lady was having trouble with? What she was doing was she was focusing on her flesh. She was focusing on her flesh and the wants and desires of the flesh. The flesh is corrupt according to the deceitful lust the Scripture teaches us, isn't it? This girl was a saved girl too, by the way, just like Mommy was. What they needed to realize is where their blessings truly lied. Once you realize where your blessings truly are, when you realize what it is you've become in Christ and where your power truly lies, does it matter what happens to this thing? Or should it matter what happens to this thing? See, they were focusing on the world. They were looking for answers in the world. If they would look toward where the answers lie in Christ, that helps solve the problems as they occur. The world can dish out its worst and it doesn't matter. Because what's the worst truly the world can do to you? What's the worst thing the world can do to you? Kill you. What happens when you die? Where are you? And that's a bad thing. Worst thing this world can do is kill you. And you're in heaven for all eternity serving Christ. And that's a good thing. You see? Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You're dead. You were buried, but now you're risen alive in God. Verse 5. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 6. I see two things that we become. What are they? I'm sorry. Ascended is the word. Raised, same thing. There you go. So you guys get it, don't you? It's not hard. Let the verse say what it says. Okay? Besides being ascended, we're sit with Christ. And by the way, where's Christ sitting? In the right hand of the Father. And sitting at the right hand of the Father is located on heaven or in earth? In heaven. Where's our blessings all lie? In heavenly places. Not a hard study, is it? It really isn't. But this is what we've become. Who are we? What have we become? The Scripture is very clear, isn't it? You're dead. You're buried. You're risen. You're alive. You're ascended at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord, and you're sitting with Him. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. You can't feel it. But that's what you have. And that is who you are. And recognizing this thing, do you think this will help change your attitude? It should. Absolutely should. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We find out another fantastic truth, another blessing that we have. Romans 8, verse number 17. Here we go. Now, let's look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verses 16 and 17. There's actually two things. Let me move over here. 7 and 8. Here comes the question. Ready? What are we? We're a child of God. Now understand, many times in the scripture when it talks about you being a child of God, it means you're a full-grown adult son. You're a big boy now. Not a little boy anymore. You're a big boy. Remember whenever I was a child growing up, my mother and dad telling me that. Can't act like that anymore. You're not a little boy anymore. You're a big boy now. You're a big boy, so you need to act right. Right? You're a child of God. You are a full-grown adult son. And because of that, what else are you, according to that verse? You're a joint heir. What's it mean to be an heir? Basically, yes. Everybody hear that? You get it all. As an example, my wife and I own a house. My wife and I own a car. Whatever it is that we have, at some given point in time, guess who's going to get it? Rebecca. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I might be in trouble now. You're not getting anything, kid. She's an heir. She's my heir. Because she's my heir, guess what she gets? Everything, whatever I have, it's hers. Dell has a son. He has a daughter. Guess what they are? Whatever Dell has, except for hair, whatever Dell, sorry, that wasn't nice. That wasn't nice. I'm sorry. We'll talk about that later. I told him whenever I came this morning, most guys, when they turn gray, use dye on their hair to cover it. He shaves his off. And that's fine. He actually looks very good that way. He really does. When you're an heir, whatever daddy has, you get. It's yours because you're an heir. Jesus Christ, would you say he's an heir of the Father? I'd say that's a pretty safe bet, isn't it? Whatever daddy has, guess who else has? Now, here's the question. Where are you located right now? In who?
In Christ.
And because you're located in Christ, that makes you a joint heir. Dell has a son. Dell has a daughter. Together, son, daughter, they become joint heirs of daddy's inheritance. Jesus Christ is the heir of the Father. Whatever daddy has, Jesus Christ has because he's an heir. And because I'm in Christ, guess what I get? Everything the Father has because I, along with the Son, am joint heir. Because remember, I am now a full grown adult, what? In who?
Christ.
Is that a spiritual blessing or a physical blessing?
Spiritual.
Not hard, is it? While we focus not on the things that are things, but the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are eternal, the things that are not seen are eternal. I hope I quoted that right. You get the idea. I'm a joint heir. Whatever the Son has, I have, because I am located in Him. Do you think by focusing on these things, it may make an impact on my daily life? It should. It ought to. Because our focus is not on things on the earth, but things in the... Because where are you seated right now? In the heavenly places with who? Seated at the right hand of the Father. We just read that a little while ago, didn't we? Ties all together, doesn't it? Let's look at a few more. We're running low on time. This is so neat. Get Ephesians 4, Colossians 1, 1 Corinthians 3. I'll just say it again, because I'm going to have to do it in a minute. Ephesians 4, Colossians 1, 1 Corinthians 3. Now, I better turn there. Okay, there's Colossians 1. Ephesians, Colossians 1, Ephesians 4. Okay, there's Ephesians 4. And how about 1 Corinthians 3? All right. In this general, we got to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes. Want to get done by noon-ish. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Ephesians 4, 6. Paul just finishes in Ephesians 4 talking about all the ones, one Lord, etc., 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 okay? Ephesians 4, verse number 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here's the question. Ready? Because here it comes. Who are you? Yes. Do you hear what Dale's answer was? You're God. Look who's living in you. Ephesians 4, verse number 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, there's no other God. Through all, He's the Creator. And in what? You know who's living inside you? Daddy is. You ever hear the expression, I can see your dad in you? I remember hearing that as I was growing up. I remember hearing that when my father was alive 5-6 years ago. Boy, can I see your dad in you. You know why? Because guess who was the one that helped make me? My daddy. Mom was very helpful too, but well, that's another subject. But God the Father is living where? He's in you. Does that take your breath away? Look at this flesh. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So bad that God had to eliminate it. He had to kill it. He had to have it crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm alive. And as part of all this, the Father is now living in me. The Father's in me. The Father's in you. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the moment you recognized that finished work was the all-encompassing sacrifice, no other sacrifice was necessary, nothing you could do to please God, the work of Christ only appeased Him. His work alone. The moment you trusted in that, guess who moved into you? Daddy did. The Father did. With that in mind, look in Colossians 1. I closed it. I got to go back to it. Colossians 1 and verse number 27. where we started our study this morning, isn't it? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the question. What's the blessing you have? It's who else is living inside you? Besides the Father living inside you, guess who else lives inside you? The Son does. I can't see him. Spiritual or physical blessing? I'm beginning to sense a pattern here. Not only is the Father living inside you, the Son's living inside you. You're dead, you're buried, but you're alive. And because you're alive, you're ascended, you're raised into heaven, you're seated with Christ, where you're a full-grown adult son, and because you're a full-grown adult son, you're an heir. And since you're an heir, Daddy lives inside you, and the Son lives inside you. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse number 16. No. Ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Comes the question, what are you? Guess you're the temple. You're right. That's the point. That's another point we were going to get to later, but that's a good answer. But guess who else is living inside you? Actually, this was going to be point number 12. This here was going to be point number 11. You get the idea, though. The Father's living inside you. The Son is living inside you. And the Spirit is in you. We often talk about Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live after the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We talk about the Son living inside us, and that's fantastic. But guess who else lives inside us? The Father does, and the Spirit does. And because all three of those guys live together inside you, guess what you are? You're the temple. Where does God reside in the Old Testament? Guess who's the temple now? Guess where God resides. And these three are, and they live inside you. Spiritual blessing, physical blessing. Spiritual. Again, I sense a pattern. We just went over 12. I found 57. You may find more. We've got another 45 to look at. And guess where all these blessings reside? In the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm. Guess how many blessings we have on this earth? Give you a hint, it's less than this many. Who am I? What am I? There's 12 of them. 45 more to look at. And in February, during the first service, we'll start looking at those other 45. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we've had once again to study your word. And as we take that time, may us coming to a full comprehension and understanding on what it is we become. And as we see what we've become, may that truly motivate us to go out and live an appropriate life based on not the wants and desires of this world, but based upon who we are in Christ. And as we do that, may that truly bring honor and glory to the name of your Son, for it is through his name we pray. Amen.